From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. Many people do not look forward to tax season, but we really don't have a choice. People have to file federal and state taxes, and there's less than 2 weeks to do so. This year, there are a few new deductions for Wisconsin individuals and businesses hoping to get some money back from the state. I recently talked about this with Wisconsin's Department of Revenue Secretary, Richard Chandler. But he starts out by explaining why we file taxes in the first place.
Well, the reason people have to file their returns every year is because the amount of money that's withheld from people's paychecks is really only an approximation of what they owe. So the tax return helps you determine exactly what you owe and helps you take advantage of any deductions or credits that might help reduce your tax burden. For most people, the amount that's withheld in their paychecks is more than what they owe, so they get a refund when they file. The average refund in the state of Wisconsin is around $680.
Which is a pretty good amount of money.
It really is, and we encourage people to e-file. It's fast, it's easy, the programs do the math for you, and best of all, if you're a person who's getting a refund, you'll get it in a matter of days rather than having to wait for weeks or months as you would with a paper return. You can have your refund direct deposited in your checking or savings account, so it's very quick.
And more people are using the e-file system, is that correct?
In Wisconsin, last year, 80% of taxpayers e-filed. That's fifth highest in the country, and it's getting more and more popular. We find that once people try e-filing, they never want to go back to the old way. 10 years ago, about 25% of people e-filed. We get about 3 million returns in the state of Wisconsin, and you can see what a difference that is if people, 80% of people are now e-filing compared with 25%. 10 years ago. That's millions of returns that are being e-filed rather than paper filed. It is much easier for the taxpayer. It's also a lot better for the state because we save money. We save $2 to $3 per return in processing charges when people e-file. We don't have to hire as many employees. We don't have to spend as much time processing those returns.
So people have a little under 2 weeks to file their taxes. Is this the time where your office starts to see more and more tax filings come in?
At this point, April 17 is the tax filing deadline. It's usually April 15th, but this year April 15th is a Sunday. April 16th is Emancipation Day in the District of Columbia, which is a holiday. That means the deadline gets pushed off to April 17 nationwide. At this point, of the 3 million returns we expect to get, about 2 million have been filed. So one-third of the returns will come in the next 2 weeks. We have a customer call center that people can call if they need information. We see the volume of calls going up quite a bit in these last few weeks. But we have additional staff this time of year at that call center. We try to answer most calls within less than 2 minutes, so we try to get information to people very quickly. We also would encourage people to go to our website. We launched a new website last year. It's actually gotten attention from national tax organizations as an outstanding website, so we try to make that very easy for people. They can get whatever forms, whatever directions they need by going to the website. And I should also mention that we have YouTube videos available on our website. We know that a lot of people these days like to get information about how to do things over YouTube, so we have that available as well. And I should also mention that we do know that a number of people either don't have computer access or maybe are a little bit intimidated by the tax filing process. And we have volunteer income tax assistance sites around the state where we have volunteers who will help walk people through the process and help them e-file their returns. And the people who are eligible for using those volunteer income tax assistance sites are low-income people, people with disabilities, seniors, military families. If people want to find a site in their area, they can just dial 211 on their phone, and they'll get a list of where the sites are. They're in libraries, community centers, city halls around the state. We do have about 200 around the state. So for most people, there will be one in their area.
What about people who are filing their taxes and they find that they owe a lot of money? What can they do for help?
Well, one thing people can do is to arrange for the money to be automatically taken out of their checking or savings account just before the tax filing deadline. So if people want to file in advance but wait until April 17 to have the money withdrawn from their account, they can do that. Otherwise, if people are really strapped for money and find that they just can't meet their tax payment obligation, we always encourage people to file by the deadline. You have to do that. We can work with people to set up payment plans. You do have to pay interest, but by calling our customer call center, people can learn about their options if they absolutely can't pay by the deadline.
Because you don't want to end up with the brand of being a delinquent taxpayer.
Right. You absolutely want to file even if you can't pay. If you end up as a delinquent taxpayer, then additional penalties kick in.
What are some of the biggest mistakes that people make when they're filing their taxes? Things that you would like people to watch out for?
Probably the biggest things are people overlook deductions or credits that they have coming. One example I'll give is for the first time this year, we have a deduction for contributions to health savings accounts. A lot of people, particularly self-employed individuals, people who work for small businesses, meet their health insurance needs by putting money into a health savings account and then paying for insurance through that. We haven't had that deduction in Wisconsin in the past, but we did adopt that last year in the special session in January of 2011 that Governor Walker called, where we adopted a number of tax provisions, and the deduction for health savings accounts is one of those. There are credits and deductions that people can take for property taxes, or if they're renters, for an amount that's equivalent to property taxes. So those are things that people tend to overlook. The good thing about e-filing is that if you e-file, the program knows your circumstances and asks you questions. And if you say that you own property, it will ask you, how much did you pay in property taxes? Calculate what your property tax credit is. So it makes sure that you don't miss the deductions or credits that you have coming.
Beyond missing deductions, are there other mistakes, though, that people tend to make that could work against them?
One of the things that a lot of people have problems with if they're not e-filing, if they're just doing it by hand, is there's a tendency of people to make math mistakes or to enter things on the wrong line. Again, one of the advantages of e-filing is it avoids those things. It does the math for you. It makes sure that things are being entered on the proper line so you avoid putting them in the wrong place. So e-filing takes care of a lot of the mistakes that people used to make in the past.
You mentioned the healthcare savings account and that being a new deduction this year. Are there any other new tax laws that people should look out for or should be aware of?
Well, one of the things I should mention is that last year the governor proposed and the legislature passed a number of incentives that are trying to make sure we're promoting job creation here in the state of Wisconsin. So there are a lot of incentives for people to invest in Wisconsin businesses and incentives for businesses to hire and to do business here. One of the things that affects individuals is an investment incentive that says if you put money into a Wisconsin business this year and keep it there for 5 years, at the point where you sell that investment, if you've kept it there for 5 years, you won't have to pay any tax on the gain. So we really want to encourage people to be investing in Wisconsin businesses, and individuals should be aware of that in terms of planning for their investments and their tax liabilities down the road. Some of the other things we passed are things that don't apply directly to individuals but are meant to encourage business activity here in the state so we create more jobs. There is a job creation deduction, so any businesses that hire workers in 2011 and future years get an additional deduction for those new jobs that are created.
Even if it's just one job?
Even if it's just one job. Any number of jobs, big businesses, small businesses, however you're set up, you can be eligible for the deduction if you're hiring new workers. And looking to the future, we created what's really a very powerful tax incentive for manufacturing and agriculture businesses. It's a manufacturing and agriculture tax credit that's going to be phased in over a 4-year period starting in 2013. But it allows businesses that engage in manufacturing and agricultural activities here in the state of Wisconsin to take a credit that offsets a large amount of their tax liability for income that comes from manufacturing or ag activities here in the state of Wisconsin. And the rationale for that is that manufacturing and agriculture have traditionally been the twin drivers of our economy. We're one of the two most manufacturing-intensive states in the country. We're obviously very strong in agriculture as well. Jobs in those fields are well-paying jobs, are jobs that have a lot of spin-off benefits. If you've got a lot of manufacturing and ag activity, you're going to have a lot of construction and real estate sales and retail sales and hospitality, tourism, professional services, and on down the line. So if those sectors are thriving, the rest of our economy will thrive. And as I've traveled the state of Wisconsin, I've seen quite a few advanced manufacturing businesses that are engaged in very technologically sophisticated activities. They're prepared to expand here. We're trying to give them every incentive to expand here in Wisconsin rather than looking to other states. And we've gotten a lot of very positive feedback about this. So we think it's really going to drive a lot of job creation in the state. And we really want people who are engaged in business to be aware of this so they know that Wisconsin is an attractive place to expand and create jobs. If they're in the manufacturing and ag sector, they'll get that direct credit. And for people who are looking for places to invest in a new business because of our investment incentives, we've got a very attractive tax climate now for businesses in all kinds of areas.
And you're listening to Newsmakers. My guest today is Secretary Richard Chandler. He runs the Wisconsin Department of Revenue. With Wisconsin having a budget shortfall, and you just mentioned a handful of tax incentives that were introduced this session, is this a time that Wisconsin can afford tax incentives?
We really think that long-term, the solution to some of the budget challenges Wisconsin has faced in the past is to get the economy going. So all of our tax changes are designed to increase economic activity, create more jobs. We'll get some revenue from revenue growth that way, and that will allow us to address all kinds of priorities in the future, whether it's funding for education or health care or for additional tax reductions. All of those things are possible if we have a thriving and growing economy. So that's been the focus of the Walker administration, is to get the economy going. The governor did face, I think as everybody knows, a very challenging budget situation when he took office a little over a year ago, a $3.6 billion projected deficit. And facing that situation, there were basically three choices that he could have made. Number one, raise taxes. But that would have been detrimental to economic growth. We want to be reducing the tax burden in Wisconsin so we get more in line with our neighboring states, with the national average. So we didn't want to increase taxes. A second choice would have been to cut spending, but without making any changes to how we do business. And if we'd done that, we would have had to see a lot of layoffs of state and local employees. We would have had to see a lot of service cuts. So the third choice, and the choice the governor made, what I think is clearly the best choice under the circumstances that we faced, was to say, we're going to cut spending, but we're also going to change the way we do business. We're going to make some changes to benefit levels for government employees. We're going to make some changes to the work rules that state and local governments have that apply to how they structure their services. And that was the foundation of the budget that the governor submitted last year and the legislature passed. I think the payoff to that is that we've seen a budget where we didn't increase any taxes at the state level. We did a few targeted tax decreases to stimulate economic activity. We kept property taxes stable across the state. So property taxes on a statewide basis didn't go up. And we were able to avoid mass layoffs of state or local government employees, or any significant service cuts. Services have been maintained. State employment and local employment levels have been maintained. Taxes have either been level or decreased in the areas where we can use incentives to generate additional business activity. And overall, I think it's worked out well. We've seen steadily increasing tax collections at the state level. We've seen increased economic activity. Jobs are growing, and the growth is picking up over the last several months. Our unemployment rate is now 6.9%, which is well below the national average and below the levels that we saw a year ago. So things are heading in the right direction. We do have an awareness that there are things at the national and international level that really presents some challenges to economic growth. Rising fuel prices because of Mideast turmoil, the European debt crisis has caused some uncertainty. Some of the things that have gone on at the federal level in terms of the debate over raising the tax, the debt limit at the national level have created some uncertainty for businesses. But what we're trying to do is create an environment in Wisconsin where, despite those challenges at the national level, the international level, we can keep our economy growing, and we definitely think things are moving in the right direction.
La Crosse, the city of La Crosse, has some of the highest property taxes within the state, and a lot of that is because of local forces that play into it. But can you talk about the state's role in influencing property taxes within local municipalities?
At the state level, we can do a couple of things that affect property taxes, and one of them is we provide a lot of aid to school districts, to municipal governments, to county governments around the state, and so that's money they can use for services, and they don't have to use property taxes for those services. The other thing we can do is set limits as to how much local spending and local property taxes can go up in a given year. So we've tried to do both things, tried to maintain limits that assure citizens that their property taxes will remain stable and won't accelerate, and to continue to provide aids to local governments so that they can use that money for services. Clearly, local governments have had to make some difficult choices because state aids have not been increasing the way they have in the past, and we've had some fairly strict property tax limits to make sure that property taxpayers are protected from significant increases. And so local governments, given that situation, have had to make some tough choices, but we've tried to give them the tools that they need to manage how they do their work and that will allow them to control their costs. We've also made some really tough choices at the state level. Virtually every state agency, including the Department of Revenue, has seen reduced budget levels from a year ago. And we're managing. We're doing things differently. We're trying to use technology more and become more efficient in how we do things so that we can continue to provide good service despite the fact that we're spending less money. So it's definitely a challenging time for governments at the state level and at the local level. But we think that the important thing is for governments to really try to do things more efficiently, to make tough choices so we don't call on citizens to pay additional taxes, and so we can focus on getting the economy going.
Isn't there a tiny percentage of local property taxes that go to the state?
And what
does that go towards?
The state pays or assesses a little bit of a tax on forest land, and that goes for natural resources programs. So that's a very small share of the overall property tax bill.
So what are your projections for the tax season? Is Wisconsin expecting to bring in more or less money than in the past?
We're definitely seeing increased revenues, and we've had some targeted tax cuts, but because we're getting economic growth, we are seeing increased revenues coming in because of that economic growth. So we're seeing revenue growth roughly in the 3% range is our estimate for the state's current fiscal year and for the next one. And the good news is that our collections show that the money is coming in line with those projections. We're meeting our estimated levels of taxes, and that's good news because it shows our economy is doing well, even given some of the challenges at the national level.
And that's 3% higher than last year?
That's correct.
Okay. And then do you have a dollar amount as far as how much money will be generated in taxes for the state?
The state takes in terms of general fund taxes. So that's individual income taxes, sales taxes, corporate income taxes, cigarette taxes, and a variety of other taxes. We take in about $14 billion every fiscal year, and that's going up at about 3% a year right now.
So what does it mean if the state does generate 3% more in taxes this year and hopefully next year as well? What does that mean for the state?
Well, in the past, or it's certainly in the last budget, the budget that Governor Walker had to propose in 2011, we had a situation where the revenue growth that we saw really had to be used to fill in holes that were left over from previous budgets. In 2009, and the state was in a, like the rest of the country, was in a severe recession in 2009, there were a number of things done to balance the budget that really were one-time fixes. The biggest one was that we used a lot of one-time federal stimulus money to balance our budget. And that creates difficulties because when that money isn't available the next time, which it wasn't in 2011, it meant that we had a budget deficit because we didn't have that one-time federal stimulus money available in the 2011 budget. So that meant that we were facing a projected deficit, and we had to make some of those difficult choices in terms of reducing state spending and reducing local aids and things like that. Now that we've got the budget balanced, and it's balanced on an honest basis, a sustainable basis, where we won't have a deficit heading into the next budget, we'll have a lot more flexibility. We'll not have to engage in crisis management in the next budget because we didn't use one-time fixes in the current budget. And that means that the money that we see from economic growth can be used to address some of the priorities that the people of the state want to address. And again, those are things like education aids, funding for health programs. A lot of people would like to see some additional tax cuts, whether they're targeted to businesses or whether they're for individuals. But that's an option we certainly want to consider in future budgets. But if you have economic growth, you'll be able to do a little bit of all of those things, and I think that's what people want to see. But fundamentally, we have to have a budget that's balanced honestly, so we're not facing a deficit due to use of one-time measures to balance the current budget, and we have to see economic growth. You have to have both of those things to have a budget situation where you're able to make some of those choices that I talked about in the future. And we think we've put ourselves in a position to do that. Looking ahead to 2013, with good economic growth, with the current budget being balanced on an honest basis, not using one-time revenue, we think we're set up well for 2013.
And when you look ahead beyond tax cuts, is there anything else that you'd like to accomplish within your department to help the state kind of move beyond where we're at right now?
Well, one of the things we're doing, and it really doesn't take additional money, it just has to do with how you do your business and how you use your existing budget funds. But we're doing a lot of things to improve customer service to individuals, to businesses, to local governments. All of those people are served by the Department of Revenue. I mentioned our new website, which has really gotten good reviews as far as being very usable, very user-friendly. We have an initiative in place. We call it a plain language initiative, where we're systematically rewriting our forms, our publications, our notices. So we try to word them in ways that are more easily understood by people. And we don't want to have just pages with dense text, long paragraphs. We're working to put things in a form where we have clear headings, we have bullet points to present information so people can understand things more clearly. And that's going to mean there's less frustration by taxpayers because they can understand communications we send out more easily. It means we don't have to spend as much time answering questions, explaining things to people. So our new website, our plain language initiative are two things that we've done that I think individuals will notice in terms of hopefully better interactions with the Department of Revenue.
Richard Chandler is the Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Revenue. Volunteers at the La Crosse Main Library are offering tax assistance Tuesday through Thursday, but appointments are encouraged. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCullum. Our production team includes Steve Roysom, John Gatto, Mary Meehan Strube, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. To hear archives of this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. In addition to Newsmakers, you'll find archived reports and special series produced by the La Crosse News Bureau. And if you'd like to comment on this week's Newsmakers or have a suggestion for future shows, you'll also find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/lacrosse.